Morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to St. Mark's Lutheran Church, another Sunday to praise God together for His grace. We are in the midst of end time, the end time season. We've taken a look at the Reformation, we've taken a look at the Last Judgment, and now today we're going to remind ourselves of some knowledge that we have about what's going to happen at the end. We call it Saints Triumphant Sunday. We're going to be triumphant, all thanks to Jesus and His triumph over sin and death. So we'll celebrate that today. We'll also celebrate the Lord's Supper, which includes the very body and blood of the Lord. So prepare your minds and hearts to receive that and recognize the forgiveness that's offered through it. We'll follow along in the bulletins that are printed out there for you. As you'll see, our opening hymn is going to be 776, which you'll find in the blue songbooks. So may God bless your worship this morning as we praise God for His grace. Please stand. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you.
And also with you.
God invites us to come into His presence and worship Him with humble and penitent hearts. Therefore, let us acknowledge our sinfulness and ask Him to forgive us. Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful, and that I have disobeyed you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us and has given His only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by His authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We ask for God's continued mercy. For all that we need in life, and for the wisdom to use all your gifts with gratitude and joy, hear our prayer, O Lord. For the steadfast assurance that nothing can separate us from your love, and for the courage to stand firm against the assaults of Satan and every evil, hear our prayer, O Christ. For the well-being of your holy church in all the world, and for those who offer here their worship and praise, hear our prayer, O Lord.
Lord, have
mercy. Merciful God, maker and preserver of life, uphold us by your power and keep us in your tender care.
Amen.
We respond to God's mercy by singing hymn 727, There is a Higher Throne. You may be seated for that. Let us pray. Almighty God and Savior, you have set the final day and hour when we shall be delivered from this world of sin and death. Keep us ever watchful for the coming of your Son, that we may sit with him and all your holy ones at the marriage feast in heaven. Through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
Once again, on this Saints Triumphant, we celebrate what's going to happen and what God's going to do for us on that last day. And we see that here in Daniel chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. This will also serve as the sermon text for today. At that time, Michael, the great prince who protects your people, will arise. There will be a time of distress such as not happened from the beginning of nations until then. But at that time, your people, everyone whose name is found written in the book, will be delivered. Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. The word of the Lord. Join together in Psalm 118. Second lesson this morning comes from 1 Thessalonians 4, where Paul reminds us again what happens on that last day, but also what we're to do with that knowledge. 1 Thessalonians 4. Brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope.
For we believe that Jesus died and rose again. And so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. The word of the Lord. Revelation chapter 7, verse 15, we get a glimpse of what we'll be doing in heaven. Alleluia. They are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. Alleluia. Please stand in honor of the words of Jesus. The gospel lesson for this morning comes from Mark chapter 13, verses 24 through 27. Jesus here tells us that the last day will indeed fulfill a prophecy quoted here from Isaiah, but also will fulfill exactly what Paul said just up above, from Mark chapter 13. But in those days following that distress, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the sky, and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, people will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And he will send his angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of the heavens. This is the gospel of the Lord. You may be seated for the hymn of the day, which is "The Day is Surely Drawing Near," number 207. Please note we're singing stanzas 1, 3, 5, and 6. Grace and peace are yours from God our Father, through Jesus our Savior. Amen. The sermon text comes from Daniel chapter 12, as I said, the first lesson. Let's begin with prayer. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your everlasting life. Amen. You know what this is? I should ask, do any of you under the age of 10 know what this is? This is a book. It doesn't have a screen. It has what's called pages. On pages is written information in ink. You don't swipe it. See, this is what your Kindle app is trying to look like, right? No, of course, I'm just kidding. I know you know what a book is. But there's something different about reading like a book, right? In your hands with the paper instead of on the screen. A study from 2 years ago found that 92% of college students that they surveyed said that they preferred a paper book over an electronic book, reading it on a screen. 92%. They referenced a lot of things like there being less eye strain as you're reading from a book. You know, it's there, it's printed, you can see it, it's 3D. You can hold it in your hands instead of just, ah. Right? After a while, you're just like, ah, I can't even look at it anymore. They also referenced that they like the feeling, the sense of accomplishment, because you can see how far down you get in the book as you're reading. And you, right there at the end, you say, yeah, I did that. That's what I accomplished. Did you know that God has a book? All right, I'm not talking about the Bible. I know you know about that book. God has another book. We just sang about it. The book of life. The angel here in our text says that in the book of life there are written names, lots and lots of names. What he's referencing is a common practice back in that day where you had a town would have like a town roster with all of the names of the members of that town. And if your name was on that list, on that town roster, then you could enjoy the blessings of community membership and all of the joys that that brought. In God's town roster, the roster of his kingdom, we have names like Avis Anderson, LaVon Casey, and Leon Raglan, and Andy Schwieger, and Terry Jackson, and Kathleen Getty, and Ann Alvarado, for example. All of those who were a part of our membership here that are now members in heaven. In that book are also written all of your names. This morning, we're going to take some time. We're going to dive into what does it mean that we're written in the book? And why does God tell us about that? The first reason he gives of why he tells us that we're written in the book is because that can be a great comfort to us in times of distress, times of trouble, when trial hits, especially in these last days. So Daniel right now in Daniel 12 is at the end of his book. He's getting this big, big vision of what's going to happen in the end time, the last days. We're living in these last days right now, Scripture says. Jesus says that these last days there will be wars and rumors of wars. There's going to be natural disasters like famine and earthquakes and floods, and might we include wildfires. Going to be sin increasing. There's going to be immorality increasing. We're going to be opposed even more. As God's people are going to be persecuted even more. The Bible also tells us that we have this great big enemy that's thrown at us by the devil called the Antichrist. Antichrist, literally in place of Christ, who tries to take the place of Christ in our hearts. Just before our text here is actually what Daniel sees in the vision concerning that Antichrist. Describes a king or ruler who will exalt and magnify himself above every god and will say unheard of things against the God of gods. And sadly, the next sentence says, he will be successful. He's someone who works spiritually against God's people, who tries to turn them away from God. Whew. These last days are rough. Sadly, it's only going to get worse. the angel continues and eventually tells Daniel, there will be a time of distress such as not happened from the beginning of nations until then. So God is warning us that in these last days, it'll eventually get so bad that it's never been worse in the history of the world. Boy, that just brings so much joy to your heart, doesn't it? Yay, end time, right? With all of this opposition, with all of this persecution, with sin and immorality increasing, how are we going to survive? Well, God tells us, multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake. At that time, Michael, the great prince who protects your people, will arise. At that time, your people, everyone whose name is found written in the book, will be delivered. Here in Daniel chapter 12, first of all, we hear about this spiritual battle going on. We can't even see it. It's going on all around us. There's a spiritual battle going on. Well, guess what? Your name is on the town roster of heaven, and that means that you get the blessings of what community membership brings in heaven, and that includes the protection from God's heavenly angels. God sends his mighty angels like Michael, the archangel, to protect us. So while we have all of these things going against us and all of these things attacking us and all this distress that we have to face and it's going to get worse, we can calm our troubled hearts with the knowledge that God fights for us. And we can't even see it. It's right there. He sends his angels to protect us, and he will deliver us. That's a promise. God always keeps his promises. That's what being written in the book means. But it doesn't just mean blessings in this life as we await for the last day. It also spills over into the next life. Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. So now here in Daniel 12, the next thing we find out, we actually have in verse 2, the most explicit reference in the Old Testament to the resurrection of all people. The Old Testament people knew, just like we do, that sin brought death. They knew, just like we do, that there was going to be a Savior who was going to pay for sin, all of it. Therefore, death would be conquered for all people. Being written in the book means that you will be raised to everlasting life. But it won't be all sunshine and lollipops for everyone. Sadly, we also hear there's going to be a number of people who will be raised up to shame and everlasting contempt. What do you think of when you think of the word shame? I should say, what do you feel? When you feel ashamed, what do you feel in your heart? Does it kind of make you kind of go like this? You almost feel like, ugh. I'm so mad at myself, but just don't look at me. Don't look at me. Well, guess what contempt means? Contempt means something is so disgusting or revolting, I can't even look at it. I have to turn away. On the last day, those who reject Jesus in this life, that's what they're going to feel, and that is what God is going to do. He is going to look away from them, everlasting, forever. By God's grace, by God's grace alone, just like we celebrated 2 weeks ago on the Reformation Sunday, by God's grace, we are not that. Okay? By God's grace, we are written in the book. But that doesn't mean that we don't sometimes look contemptible. We know that being written in the book means that we have this community membership, and we know we're supposed to live like we're written in the book, but sadly, we can forget what that means in our lives. We know, thanks to God, that we're to be wise, and we're to exercise that godly wisdom in our lives and do good things. And yet, how often do we commit the same sins over and over again so foolishly, and we don't do anything about it? We know, as people who are written in the book, that we're to be righteous, That is, do the things that are right in God's eyes and according to Scripture, right? Not what we feel, not our opinions, not other people's opinions, but to do the right thing. And yet, how often do we have that choice between right and wrong, and we willingly choose the wrong? And then our conscience tells us, and what do we feel? We feel that shame. And when we're in that darkness, God tries to call us out, because we know we're supposed to be the light of the world. God calls us out to be that light of the world, and how often do we just kind of push that away and stay in the darkness? We can revel in that darkness. Sometimes we can even wallow in it, in our guilt and in our self-pity. God tries to call us out by His word and sacrament, reminding us of all of His promises kept. And yet we can still let the devil envelop us with the darkness of doubt and fear. And we can have all of these thoughts start to enter our minds. We're just like, well, God, what about the wars? What about the fires? What about the opposition that we face? What about Satan, Lord? What about the Antichrist? Why do you even let him exist? Are you even protecting us, God? The further and further we get into that darkness, and the further and further we get away from the knowledge of being written in the book, the more and more that darkness can influence our minds and in our hearts. We might even get to the point where we say, what about death, Lord? What's going to happen when I die? Do I even have a solid hope? And God's got to be sitting there saying, how many times do I got to tell them who I am, what I've done, what's going to happen? And yet, they still turn away from that. We have to be careful. Because when we do that and we get deeper and deeper into the darkness, we ignore that light, we threaten to be those on the last day where God looks at us and just says, oh, I have to look away. We threaten to be contemptible. Is that you? Do you flirt with the darkness? Then remind yourself that your name is written in the book, and what that means. What does it mean to be written in the book? What does it mean to be a saint triumphant? How do you become a saint triumphant? Well, it's nothing that you do. God be praised. It all has to do with what Jesus did. Jesus did it. You didn't write your own name in there. Jesus wrote it in there for you. It's written there. It's right there. You can see it. You can't swipe it away. Nobody can go in there in a digital file and hit backspace, backspace, backspace. Oh, gone and lost forever. No. It's written right there in the town roster of heaven. And it's not written in some fading ink or some washable marker. It is written down in the book of life by the blood of the Son of God. You ain't erasing that. It ain't some file that, oops, I forgot to save it. Oh. No, you have been saved 100%, locked down tight. Your name's written in the book. And you're thinking to yourself, but I do so many contemptible things and darkness that I delight in sometimes. What about that? Well, God's like, no, that wasn't you. That was Jesus. Jesus became contemptible so that God could look at us. Jesus says, no, God, look at them. Don't look at me. And just the same way that death couldn't hold Jesus after he did that, it's not going to hold us. Dust of the earth is going to spit you out. You're going to have body and soul reunited again, and you're going to be reunited with all of your loved ones who died in Christ. All of us together, multitudes of those who were sinners delivered, praising God forever. That everlasting life is yours. Thanks to the life that Jesus gave, 33 years of perfect righteousness, that life that he gave on the cross as a sacrifice, that life that raised again from the grave, and that life that he gives to you through his righteousness, through his word, that life is yours forever. He triumphed, and so will you, thanks to him. Being written in the book means that you have been made wise for that salvation. Being written in the book means that you have been made righteous thanks to Christ. Being written in the book means that you will shine like the heavens do forever and ever. So what do we do in the meantime? Well, guess what being written in the book also means? It means, yeah, at one time we were contemptible, and God didn't even want to look at us. But guess what he did? He made us the complete opposite. Now we have others, instead of wanting to look away from us, we have others wanting to look to us. Because they see something there. Those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. This is describing the bright glory that we're going to shine with from the last day on. But that doesn't mean that we don't shine a little bit now. In all of this dark world, we get to be the light of the world. Literally, it says, yeah, okay, those who are wise, but really it's those who make wise, make others wise. And it says, lead to righteousness, but it actually literally says, make righteous. We are those who make others righteous. Now, we know that it's God who does that through Jesus, through his word. But that word lives in us. That word is in our actions. That word is in our mouths, on our lips, when we speak and encourage, just like Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 4. Encourage one another with these words, and we get to. Others who are living in darkness, wallowing in it, reveling in it, guess what we get to do? We get to shine a little bit. And they're able to see that, oh, these things that I'm doing are contemptible. And they'll turn away from that. If they're filled with shame and guilt, guess what we get to say? We get to say Christ died for that. He was contemptible in your place. They get to be changed, just like you and I were. And God wants all people to know that. Everyone around you. What a change that is. From us being contemptible to leading others to righteousness. From others reveling in contemptible acts to wanting to glorify God. And that is the change that we get to effect. And that is the privilege and the honor and the joy that we have of being written in the book. College students said they liked to see the accomplishment as they were reading through that book, a sense of accomplishment. I wonder if God's going to have that sense of accomplishment on the last day. As he looks out there and sees all of those people that he protected and delivered, as he looks out and sees all of those he rose from the dust of the earth to everlasting life with him, he even shares that sense of accomplishment with you and me. Those who lead others to righteousness. Whew. Being written in the book sure packs a lot of meaning, doesn't it? It means a lot of blessings. Now and forevermore. Amen. Please stand. May the fact that you are written in the book guard your hearts and minds through faith in your Savior. Amen. Confess our faith together in everything Jesus did, according to a 1,600-year-old creed called the Nicene Creed.
We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is, seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen to that. You may be seated for the offering.
This morning in the prayer of the church, we pray for all of those with health challenges, including Judy Phelps, the friend of Cheryl McLagan, as well as Betty Arney. We include a prayer for those celebrating birthdays and anniversaries this week. We also include a special prayer for all of those remembering Saints Triumphant, especially the families, for those from this past year, the families of Avis Anderson, LaVon Casey, Leon Raglan, Andy Schwieger, Terry Jackson, Kathleen Getty, Ann Alvarado, Jay Brown, Russell Schlittenhart, Tom's brother, and the families of all of those who the Lord has called home this past year. We also include a special prayer for what's going on with the fires. We pray the prayer of the church, one mind, one heart. We join together in the Lord's Prayer after that. We pray. Lord, we praise you for your protection and for salvation and for the hope of everlasting life. Guide us all in this life to cherish the fact that we are written in your book, Strengthen our trust in that fact as we await your return. Gracious Father, please help everyone who is faced with health challenges this week. Make your power known in their lives, their families' lives, and through their doctors and nurses. Lift their spirits with the resurrection of Christ, whose life made sure that someday all of these difficulties will vanish forever. Continue to bless all those who are celebrating birthdays. Allow this day to be a reminder of your grace to them throughout all of their days. Lord, we thank you for the love of those celebrating anniversaries. In your divine wisdom, continue to allow both good days and bad to draw their hearts and lives closer to each other, that they may be an example of the love you have for us all. Grant pleasant memories to everyone mourning and thinking of loved ones who have passed. Be with them in these difficult times and point them forward to the moment when you will raise up all people, reuniting body and soul on the last day. Comfort them with the promise that all of your saints triumphant will shine forever in your presence. Make your presence strong with those suffering from the effects of the fires in Northern California and everywhere. Through all of the difficulties, let your generous people make your grace known to them. We pray all of this in Jesus' name, who also taught us to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Please stand out of respect for the gospel, the forgiveness, and the sacrament. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Praise to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In love, he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. He protects and preserves his church in every age and gives us confidence to lift up our heads and watch for Jesus with joy. Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and thanks and honor and glory forever and ever. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen. Amen.
Hear the prayer of your people, O Lord, that the lips which have praised you here may glorify you in the world, that the eyes which have seen the coming of your Son may long for his coming again, and that all who have received in his true body and blood the pledge of your forgiveness may be restored to live a new and holy life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Brothers and sisters, go in peace. Live in harmony with one another. Serve the Lord with gladness. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. You may be seated. Our closing hymn is hymn 214, Jerusalem the Golden. Good morning. Another beautiful time to think about what we get to look forward to someday. God be praised for that. All thanks to Christ. All right. Got a number of announcements for you this morning, okay? And they're all pretty important, so careful listening here. First of all, Sunday school and Bible studies continue today. Very important to grow in that knowledge that we have until the end, because like I said, things are going to get worse, so it's good to be more solid in that. So Bible studies here, church fellowship, Isaiah Gems in the chapel. We've got the teen room. We'll have the teens, and then also Sunday school. This week is Thanksgiving this week. All right, now I want to, in the calendar, a little mess up I had.
It's Wednesday, not Thursday, here at St. Mark's, okay, 7 p.m. So Thanksgiving Eve, Wednesday here at 7 p.m. At Hope, Penryn, our sister church, that is at 10:30 a.m. on Thanksgiving morning, okay? And because of that, there's no Monday service, so if you meet any Monday nighters or anybody, just let them know. No Monday service tomorrow night. The River City Chorale is coming up. If you want tickets for that, it's November 30th, first of all. If you want tickets for that, please see Marty Peterson. And get the tickets and try to get here early. I remember last year it was quite packed, and I think it was spilling over into Bank of America for parking. So November 30th, River City Chorale. Christmas decorating, big one coming up here. We need help next Sunday after the second service. If you are able to help put up Christmas decorations, specifically the trees too, after second service, please talk with Jim Oswald. His contact info is in the weekly update. Speaking of Jim Oswald, he is our Board of Outreach chair. And this year, he's kind of the mighty warrior's head. He's the archangel of the Marty. That doesn't make sense, does it? Mighty Warriors coming up here for pre-Christmas to invite people to Christmas. We have this big theme, very fitting. It's called Light in the Darkness. So Jesus is the light in the darkness. And it's a big push from our synod. It's called C18, Christmas 18, where the goal is to try to get 1 million visitors, okay, all throughout the synod to all of our churches on Christmas Eve. In order to do that for us, for the Mighty Warriors, we're going to have postcards and packets ready for you, but it's going to be done a little differently. There's not going to be a particular Saturday morning this year. It's between December 1st and December 15th. Basically, it's on your own, whenever you can. Go out, two by two at least, with your family. Please sign up so we know, and please see Jim so that he can get you a packet of a place to go. Okay, so Mighty Warriors, a little bit different. We're going to see how this goes. You can kind of do it on your own. Christmas is a busy time. So keep that on your calendars. December 2nd, a note, there's a lot of things going on December 2nd. First of all, there's a marathon every year. So plan accordingly. You might not be able to make it to St. Mark's for the early service unless you plan accordingly, so you might have to come to late service. But that's okay, because then you can stay after late service for a special congregational meeting that we'll have. We're going to call a full-time teacher for grades 5 through 8, so please come for that. That's on December 2nd again. Also on December 2nd, Advent by Candlelight. So ladies, if you're interested in that, please sign up back there. That's in the evening at 6 p.m. More to come. Here we go. Ready? Advent services are coming up too. That's going to start the first week of December, so December 5th. There's services and suppers beforehand, midweek on Wednesday, so get that on your calendars coming up. The first Wednesday is going to be the first one. I think there's three. Now today, if you've heard, Jay Brown, that's Tawana's brother, passed away unexpectedly on November 3rd. There's going to be a viewing today for him at East Lawn. The address I received is in the weekly update. It was electronically. If you need that, let me know. But that's from 4 to 8 p.m. today. And then tomorrow is the Celebration of Life service, and that's going to be at Bayside in Sacramento. The address for that is also there electronically. Let me know if you need that. But remembering, celebrating Christ's work and Jay's life is what we're going to be doing. All of the other important announcements, and there are more, believe it or not, in the weekly update. You can grab those in the lobby. May God bless you this week and always as you look toward the last day and what that means for you. Please stick around and greet one another.